The first reading today comes from Deuteronomy chapter 4 verses, or chapter 6 verses 4 through 9. You can find it in your pew Bibles on page 163 if you want to follow along with us. Let us listen for God's word. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. Thanks be, this is the word of the Lord.
We continue our study in the book of Romans. We are now in the 12th chapter, and we're looking at verses 9 through 21. The first part of Romans, Paul sort of makes his argument for why people ought to believe in Jesus Christ. He talked, as we have, about the place of the law. And now he is, in a sense, giving the ethical implications. What does it look like to be part of God's people? What kind of lives ought we to live? And that's where we pick up here in the 12th chapter, verse 9. Let us listen to the word of the Lord. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Don't lag in zeal. Be ardent in the spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Don't claim to be wiser than you are. Don't repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it's possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of the Lord. And now the younger children, K through second grade, can head on back with Miss Mary back at the back to go into the chapel. So let me ask, how many of you, when you were growing up, knew what you wanted to be? Not that you became it. You just had things you wanted to be. Okay, so, yeah, right, yes. So what are some of the things you wanted to be when you grew up? Teacher? I'm so impressed, an engineer. Never would have occurred to me as a kid. How many of you wanted to be firemen? Pro baseball players, famous ballerinas. Okay, we all have these dreams, right? Now, I'm going to ask a second question. And the second question is, how many of you have hopes and dreams for the children around you? It may be your children. There we go, yeah. It could be your children, your grandchildren. It could be your nieces or nephews. So how many of you have hopes and dreams? What are some of those hopes and dreams? What do we hope for the children around us? Healthy, happy. What else? Employed, yes. All of us who are parents, that is the one thing we hope for from our children, is they will be employed and self-sufficient. But it's interesting that happiness, and it was same true at the first service, that we are a society in which happiness seems to be the penultimate goal in life, right? We want to be happy, and we want our children to be happy.
But lest you think that really is something new, it isn't. That in our Old Testament lesson, we have Moses. And Deuteronomy, what Deuteronomy is it's Moses is about to die. The Israelites are going into the Promised Land. So he sort of does this great summary of all of his teachings. And part of that summary are the 613 laws that he had been given. That's right, 613 laws. And he sums them all up because, not because he's sort of this legalistic kind of guy, but what those laws really were they were like road signs. They were guidelines intended to keep the people of God on a path that would lead them to a life that is blessed and joy-filled. And that's the reason for the Shema. That was that piece that Bethany read. Hear, O Lord, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. The Shema says this is what you ought to do with those 613 laws. Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're away, when you lie down, when you rise up. Fix them as a sign upon your forehead and put them on the doorpost of your house. That was how important these guidelines were, because if God's people wanted to be blessed and filled with joy, then knowing these rules would allow that to happen, because it would guide their steps through life. And they would become the one thing that Moses wanted them all to be, and that was a God follower. And let me be clear, when I say God follower, I'm not talking about God believer. I'm talking about God follower. Someone whose life is actually following within the guidelines that God laid down in the Torah. That's what Moses wanted. Now, those 613 laws were what the person we know as the Apostle Paul learned as he was growing up. When he was still known as Saul of Tarsus, he was a Pharisee. And what that meant was he not only memorized those 613 laws, he attempted every day to live his life exactly according to those rules and those regulations. He wanted to be sure that he did everything appropriately. And Paul talks about this in his letters, that this was his life, the law, and being obedient to it, following those guidelines. That was who he was. But then something happened to Saul of Tarsus. He's on his way to Jerusalem, and suddenly he is blinded by this light. He's knocked down to the ground, and he hears the voice of the risen Jesus Christ. And in that moment, his life is transformed. And Paul has to figure out what it means to be not just a good Jew who's living by these 613 laws, but what it means to be someone who follows after Jesus of Nazareth and becomes a God follower in that way. And one of the things Paul, the conclusions he came to, was that those 613 laws were no longer essential for being a God follower. But the question becomes then, if those 613 laws aren't what guides and directs our steps to be a God follower, what does? And what I want to offer you this morning is that I believe in this 12th chapter of Romans, Paul tells us, he shows us, and he gives it all to us in a single verse. And this is the verse. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. And everything that follows here, all those other things I read, all of those refer back to those three. And so in a sense, what Paul is saying is, if you want to be a God follower through Jesus Christ, here are the three things that will guide and direct your steps as you follow. The first is, let love be genuine. Now, it's interesting, probably several months ago, Forrest Merton came up to me and he said, John, it seems like all you ministers ever have to really do is figure out a different way to say, love each other every Sunday. And in some ways, that's true, because love is at the heart of who we are. But the problem with this, let love be genuine, so many people over the years that I've been pastoring have come to me and said, John, it's impossible. I mean, I may love my husband or wife, I may love my children, I may love some of my in-laws. You know, but here I'm supposed to love these people, and it's all supposed to be genuine, and it's impossible. Well, what we have to realize is that love here is not about emotions, it's about actions. It's not about feeling, it is about serving. The word Paul chooses for love here means to sacrificially serve other people. And so love in this sense becomes a choice. It has nothing to do with how we feel towards someone, which is why, by the way, we can love our enemies, because it doesn't have to do with what we feel about them. It has to do with how we act toward them. And genuine simply means it's the real thing. You don't just kind of do some sort of fake service to somebody for somebody. It is literally that you serve as much as you can because you know you've been served by Jesus Christ. And so the first sort of guideline is this sense of let love be genuine. We genuinely step out of our comfort zones. And we serve not only our family and our friends, but strangers and enemies. Listen to what Paul says. He says, contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Love one another with mutual affection. We are to love one another by serving each other. And so that's the first step. Love. Let love be genuine. The second is, hate what is evil. How many of you are bothered by that? How many of you are bothered by being told we're supposed to hate, even if it's hate evil? There are two ways you can think about the word hate, okay? The first is when you become angry with someone, right? Someone has hurt you, and you hate them, and you hate what they've done to you, and you can just, any of you ever been there? Feel that anger rising within you, and you just hate them. That's one kind of hate. There's a second kind of hate. And the second kind of hate is when you loathe something. For me, it would be, I hate beets. Now, I know for many of you, beets are your thing. You like them canned, you like them fresh, you just love beets. But I hate beets. And it doesn't mean I get angry with beets. It simply means that I loathe them and I'm going to stay as far away from them as I possibly can. That's the word in Greek that Paul uses here for hate. It has nothing to do with anger. It has to do with the fact that you loathe this and you attempt to stay away from it. And the reason you want to do that with evil, and just to clarify, for me, evil is whatever diminishes the image of God in a human being. Whatever diminishes one's own humanity, that is evil. Which means it can be something as simple as gossiping about somebody because you know you're going to tear them down so you can feel better about yourself. Or it can be what ISIS is doing in Iraq. It's that full spectrum. Whatever we do that tears somebody's this image of God in them and tears them apart, that is evil. But see, the problem with evil is it often looks so good. Someone has hurt us, we want to hurt them back. Someone has said something about us, we want to say something worse. The example that I will remember forever came out of the Iraq war when we had sort of conquered the country and there were IEDs that were killing our soldiers and airmen. Someone wrote a letter to the editor in the San Antonio paper saying, what we need to do is bomb the entire country back to the Stone Age. And they were serious. We level the country. See, this is what happens when you feel like someone has hurt you. You have this sense that you just want to hurt them back. But what Paul says is, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Don't be overcome by evil. Because what happens is the instant we repay someone with evil for evil, then we become that which we dislike. And so what we're to do is see evil for what it is, where it is, and we are to stay, we're to loathe it, and we're to stay as far away from it as we can. So that's the second thing. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. The final piece is hold fast to what is good. And what is good is anything that builds up the image of God in another person. The good is anything that builds up those people around you, that lets them know that they are indeed beloved children of God, that they have not been forsaken, they've not been forgotten, that they are worth everything. That is what holding fast to the good is. And Paul talks about that in here. If live as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Don't be haughty, associate with the lowly. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. See, this is what happens. You're not to overcome evil with evil, but evil with good. And so we hold fast. We hold fast. We grip tightly, the word says, all of those things that are good, that build up those around us. Those are Paul's guidelines. They've taken 613 laws and they have reduced them to an essential three. Now, here's my challenge for you all. And for those of you who are visiting today, this is something I do every week, is to give you all a challenge. I want you all to make essentially a Christian mezuzah. I want you to go home, and whether you do it on the computer or you use Photoshop or you draw it with crayons and a pencil, I want you to create a piece of paper, a mezuzah, if you will, that has these three things on it. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to the good. And then I want you to put it up. I challenge you to put it up next to the door that you use all the time, whether it's the garage door or the back door or the front door. And then every time you go out and every time you come in, you touch it. You touch it as a reminder of what it means to be a God follower in Jesus Christ. You touch it as a way of remembering the guidance that Paul has given to us. And then, when you do that, what I'd like you to do is snap a picture of it with your phone or a camera and email it to me. And we're going to create a page on our website so that everyone can see all of the wonderful Christian God-following mezuzahs that you've made. And we'll put them on our Facebook page, all of that stuff. So that's my challenge. Over the next few days, make one, put it up, send me a picture, and then touch it. Because there's it powerfully reminds us when we use touch and sight to remember who we're supposed to be. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you have shown us what is good and right. Help us to live out these commands. Help us hold tightly to love and to resist evil and to do the good. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.